The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Love, quick throw. End zone, it's caught. There's a penalty, so hang on. It's Reed if it counts. Up the middle and in. Touchdown, Green Bay. Play pass. Love rolling, looking for Watson. Double covers down there. Christian Watson came down with it. Oh, double coverage. Didn't matter.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
They come with a blitz. Love sees it over the middle. Watson, diving catch. Gets up. He's not touched. He can run. And doing so. Inside the 30. Cuts back. Christian Watson leaping. Inside the 15. 19. There's a quarterback sneak. Jordan Love being shoved in, and he's in. Touchdown, Green Bay, and they're back in front.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Here we go. 46 yards for the win.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Now live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All studios with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Chewy, bang that drum, Packers fans. Because Packers did get a victory yesterday over the Chicago Bears, 2019 at Soldier Field. Wasn't pretty. Didn't love it. Didn't feel comfortable. But it's a win. So it goes in the column. They improved to 7-3, 10 games in, 7 games remaining. But I guess that's why the line was what it was. Uh-huh. Because I said all last week, starting on Weekly Wager on Wednesday, all the way through until, well, game time. Why is the line on this game 5.5? The Packers are so much better than the Bears. Oh, I don't know that right now. I don't know if the Packers are so much better than the Bears. That's what I'm saying, Chu. Like, I was very confident that they were a far superior team to the buffoon franchise Chicago Bears. And the Bears fired their offensive coordinator, so they're reeling a little bit. Thomas Brown comes in, clearly had a tweaked game plan for the Chicago Bears offense and Caleb Williams. But the Packers barely escape by the skin of their teeth a victory over a team that everyone across the league knows is floundering, is drowning. Chew, how did this happen?
How did it? Well, there's a lot of the bye week. You knew they were going to come out a little slow. You know, we were talking about it earlier. The offense doesn't seem flowy. It's just there's no rhyme or reason to it. It's too hitchy, get up-y, bad play, decent play, good play. There's no flow. Defensively, they're still terrible against the run. I love the one stat you guys sent me. I think it was in the third quarter where Christian Watson had more tackles than Kenny Clark. I mean, that just sums it up. They're a good team. And, Gabe, this is, you know, you drove the ball onto the road and you're going to try and play your ball off the road. You hit a tree and it lands 1 yard from the pen. There's no pictures. It's still a four on the scorecard, but yeah. And that, look, it's not panic time. There's time, but man, you got to start trending in a direction like the Detroit Lions.
But it's Chewy. This is can it be fixed? I mean, this is stuff we've been talking about all season. Like, clearly, they know that the pass rush is an issue. And yes, it was nice to see them get a couple of back-to-back sacks that ultimately didn't matter on the final drive for the Bears because Caleb Williams was able to make a couple of plays. Like, is that? I mean, that's not going to magically fix itself. They just don't have good enough players there. And at the end, how many times? I mean, I'd be curious to see what the blitz numbers were, because it felt like toward the end, Halfley was just going, all right, I just got to start sending guys. We got to get Cale Williams to the ground. I just got to start sending guys. And that didn't even end up working out. So I don't know how that gets fixed. I don't know how the pass rush gets fixed. I don't know how you want to talk about herky-jerky offense. That's been going on most of the season. Like, there hasn't been a flow. Some of that's turnovers. Some of that's their ineptitude on third down.
But there's standout plays. You know, like Jordan Love, the interception. You could have ran over and handed the ball to Tucker Kraft. That's how wide open he was. Okay? And then Rashawn Gary blows up the left tackle, and I believe he got his – where's that been? And then 57 Cox is better than Lucas Van Ness. Your first-round pass is over with. Start playing the best players on the field, right? Quay Walker giving a pump-up speech after he just got juked again in the hole. There's just a handful of plays where it's Romeo Doubs. Third down. Now, I can understand this on first and second down because you drop a ball then, it's usually because you're trying to turn up the field too quickly to make a play, right? Third down, you make sure you secure that catch to move the chains. Another drop, you know? I mean, they're just, if you look at the team stats, I would say, you know what, close game, but I would say the Bears probably won the game.
Oh, the Bears outplayed the Packers yesterday. I don't think you're going to get an argument out of anybody about that. Without a doubt, the Bears outplayed the Packers. The Packers had a turnover. The Bears were efficient on third down. They ran the ball efficiently. I mean, the one thing the Packers did better was they got the big plays, the two big plays to Christian Watson.
Yeah, and that was nice to see that he finally had his breakout game. But, man, you got to start trending very soon into becoming a hot team or you're going to be going home early.
Why couldn't they stop him on third and fourth down? Like, that was rough. I pulled the numbers yesterday. And I believe that they were 12 of 19 on third and fourth down. Are you seeing the box score in front of you, Gabe?
Yeah. So yesterday, the Chicago Bears were 12 for 19 on third down.
And fourth.
Or on fourth, yes.
Third and fourth down.
Including 3 for 3 on fourth down.
And 1, 2, 3, 4, I believe at least 3 of those were Cale Williams scrambles, where they needed a few and they got a lot. Cale Williams scramble 13. Cale Williams scramble 7. Cale Williams scramble 4. Why wasn't the defense
because
more like... Go ahead, Chew.
That's what you do with young quarterbacks, Jen, because they don't know all 4 reads. They knew 2, and they can't process. I mean, the game still hasn't slowed down for Cale Williams. He's still figuring it out. And I don't know if he's going to be good. I don't think he's going to be great. But that's what a coach should do. Hey, first read, second read, if it's there, run. First read, second read, and that's clearly what the change in their offensive philosophy was, is like, hey, you got legs, you're athletic, use them.
Yeah, the defenders.
Take what they give you.
Packers defense after the game was basically saying, yeah, we weren't expecting him to run that much. They hadn't shown that he was going to run that much in previous. Obviously, the change to Thomas Brown, the new offensive coordinator, that was a big change for him, where he tried to simplify things, get the ball out of Cale Williams' hands quickly, and let him run the football. Those are the 2 things.
So there's a lot of philosophies that you can attach yourself to this morning, obviously. You can say a win's a win. You can say this is not a Super Bowl team. They won that game. They're 7-3, but they're still looking up at a few teams in the division. And the same things, the interception for one, Jordan Love throwing a really bad interception, which he admitted afterwards was just a bad throw. Let's hear from Matt LaFleur what his disposition is, what his position is on how the game went down and how they will view it going forward.
We knew this is National Football League. You got to come with your best every week in order to come away with a win. It's always hard to win on the road. They were 4-1 at home, so I figured this was going to be a 4-quarter battle, and that's exactly what it was. It took all 60 minutes, and thankfully we made a play at the end of the game. So I thought there were some good performances, and I thought there was a lot of stuff that we got to get better at, namely in situational ball, third down in the red zone, and really on both sides of the football. So I told our guys we'll never ever apologize for winning, and we'll take it, and we're going to learn from this. And, you know, we got a big battle next week.
No one expects you to apologize for wins. We understand that this is a wins and losses league, and the more wins you collect, the better chance you have of actually doing something down the stretch. But you gotta figure it out. You gotta clean some of this stuff up. You can't compete with the top tier, the elite teams of this league, playing a game like that. And I do believe, guys, in this idea of sometimes playing down to your competition. I do believe that that happens sometimes. Chewy, you mentioned the bye. There's going to be rust. You're going to try to get back into a rhythm. But when are we going to see the Jordan Love and the offense that we saw in the second half of last season? I mean, my goodness, it is virtually the same roster, Gabe. It is virtually the same offense. When are we going to see the explosiveness that we saw at the end of last season start to show itself and start to scare other teams?
I don't know. I wish I had an answer for you. If I had an answer for you, I'd be up at 1265 telling Matt LaFleur what the answer was.
Or at the very least, Potawatomi Casino.
Yeah, I mean, I would have it benefit myself, certainly. But it's the things that he talks about, the situational football. I mean, how many times did Fox splash across the screen yesterday how bad the Packers have been at scoring touchdowns in the red zone? It was every time 29th. The Packers were in there, yeah. In case you were wondering. In case you missed it the first seven times they put it on the screen. They get into the end, the red zone. But I was actually a little nervous once I saw that Christian Watson on the long catch. Oh, man. He ended up on the 15.
Yeah, it's far.
I just wish he would have gotten in the end zone, man. I've seen this team struggle so much in the red zone. And the third down stuff, it didn't really dawn on me until Chew brought it up a couple of weeks ago on All 20 Chew, which you can check out on the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube page, where Chewy breaks down five different plays from every game. And they are 22nd in the league in third down percentage. If that doesn't clean up, if the red zone stuff doesn't clean up, to me, those are things you can clean up. But if it doesn't, I mean, yeah, this team will win double-digit games, but they'll be like the Eagles were last year. Yeah, you won double-digit games, and then you got bounced right away in the first round of the playoffs.
But that's like riding your horses. That's what I mean. Once you get it around the 10, that's tight end. I start licking my chops. I'd be like, oh, here we go. You sit there and expect Holmgren, put me on a corner route, please. And you sit there and wait. And then, you know, it's just, I just think you need to target your stars. You know, is Christian Watson a star? Yeah, he'll have one game out of every four, right? But like Reed yesterday, 2 for 23. And Tucker Kraft, none.
But now, your quarterback only threw the ball 17 times, Chief.
Yeah.
Right? Sure. I mean, we always talk about how this is a very crowded wide receiver room, right? You know when it gets even more crowded? When you throw the ball 17 times.
Yeah. Well, that's just because the Bears controlled the clock. They controlled
they
the time of possession.
Correct.
You know, when they didn't have a chance. So, offensively, you can kind of blame the defense is when it comes to get off the field. Get off the field. And it's more than Jair being out.
You know,
they rushed
help.
The ball. Well, they rushed for 180 yards. That's
a lot of that was Williams.
I mean, I could take 100. 100's fine, but 180 is way too much.
Yeah, but right? I mean, yeah, some of it was Williams, Jen, but I mean, DeAndre Swift was still over 5 yards per carry. It's not like when they gave it to their other running backs, it was, oh, phew. Thank God they're running the football now.
Well, and this run defense has been an Achilles heel for as long as we can remember.
Yeah, well, because the front four stinks. And that's why I get worried about the defense, because there's no fixing that. To me, LaFleur can try to fix and coach up the red zone stuff. We've seen Jordan Love go without turnovers, right? We can hope that that can be mitigated over the final seven games. But the pass rush and the run defense is because your front four isn't good enough. I don't know how that gets fixed.
So you're more concerned about the defense going forward than you are about the offense going
100%.
Forward. Let's put that on the Jen Gabe and Chewy Twitter poll this morning. Joshy, who's back there handling the board. A couple of things that you said, though. I did see, and maybe I was the only one, but I think that other people did, Jordan Love seemed to have learned from that penchant he had shown to try to make a play. Or a few times yesterday where play's just not there, whoop, throw it away. Oh, good job, Jordan. Live to play another down. Like, that was good. But then he had the bad interception where he just, it sailed on him, and that was what she wrote.
Is that where Well, on the bright side, it wasn't a bad decision. It was just a bad throw. Is that what we're doing with Jordan right now?
I'm not saying that I'm happy about that.
This is what we're doing.
That, like, obviously, the big issue he was having was he was trying to make a play when a play wasn't there. And it looked like this time in this game, he was like, throw it away. It's like they beat it into his head for the last 2 weeks. Throw it away, throw it away, throw it away.
I mean, because if we're being honest, the decision to throw the ball to Christian Watson in double coverage, the first big play, the 48-yarder.
Yeah.
I wouldn't call that a good decision.
No, but it worked out.
No, I mean,
sure.
Worked, yeah.
If we're talking about decision making.
Jen, is that why you put the bucket as in dropping it in the bucket?
No, bucket stands for bleep it.
Oh, I gotcha. Because if you look, they showed the end zone angle of that.
Uh-huh.
That ain't the throw. He had two guys on him.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
But see, the problem is when that stuff happens, Chew, when he throws a ball to a guy that is double covered and it works, you know what that does? Makes him think he can do it again.
Oh, more bucket throws.
Makes him think he can thread the needle. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're going to see more of that every time it works. If he's punished for it by an interception or a drop, you know, turn the ball over.
How many more interceptions does he have to throw before he's punished for it?
I'm just saying that play right there, Gabe, is a perfect example of why Jordan Love is going to continue to take risks in the passing game. Because something like that happens, they needed a huge explosive play. They got the huge explosive play. To your point, Chew, wasn't where he should have gone with the ball. But since it worked, he's going to keep trying that.
I do think you need context, though. Like, the team needed a play. He went out there and gave his guy a chance to make one.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
At a certain point, the bucket throws, as we're calling them, which is great. I didn't know that meant that, and that's very, very nice workaround. Like, at a certain point, Jordan's making those decisions when you don't need bucket throws. That was probably a situation where you could argue he needed it. And I do want to go back to what Gabe said. I am giving Jordan Love credit for just missing the throw and the interception. It wasn't a bucket throw that got there. So, to me, that was a step forward for Jordan Love's interceptions. You miss some. It happens.
Good job, Jordan.
Yeah.
Well, your turnover this week, it was only, I mean, it wasn't completely your fault. It was only partially your fault.
It wasn't a bad decision. It was a bad throw, and we'd take a bad throw because, as Joshy says, bleep happens. 800-990-3776. We're going to put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll this morning. Where are you on our Seinfeld scale of concern about the Green Bay Packers right now? Yes, they got a win, but I think everybody will agree it was not pretty, and I felt, and I was very clear on this, Packers should have won by much more against a team that was absolutely floundering, against a team that was drowning, against a team you should have been able to just step on their throat and exert your dominance, and they just were not able to. 800-990-3776. Tons of reaction rolling in on our YouTube stream and on the ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line. Vote in our poll. How worried are you about the Packers right now? Yada, yada, yada. You look a little stressed. I'm freaking out. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on right after this. We will get to your reaction.
As Matt LaFleur said, we don't apologize for victories. So we're going to keep it with Victory Monday. It's brought to you by our friends at Palermo's Pizza. Wisconsin's hometown pizza with delicious brands like Palermo's Connie's Urban Pie and Screamin' Sicilian. Palermo's has your game day covered. Find Palermo's in your local grocer's freezer.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Just jump on it.
That's what he did.
Jump on it.
Slow down.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Wide open inside the 10. Beautiful play action, and Watson has a big catch, and it's first and goal, Green Bay.
Packers get the victory 20-19 yesterday over the Chicago Bears. I imagine Chicago sports radio this morning is just besides itself.
Really calm, just a normal day.
I had my family over yesterday to celebrate our youngest's birthday, which is today. She's 5 years old. And since we are, since we are a Bears family and then Packers here, my sister's husband is from Wisconsin. So it was a good way for everybody to get together. And I'm going to tell you guys, at the end of that game, in the final quarter of the game, both sides, the Bears fans and the Packers fans, were arguing about who was going to lose. Not, you're going to lose, you're going to lose. We're going to lose. And my brother-in-law said a great line. He said, it's an inept off. Who can be more inept down the stretch? Now, I will say this, guys. as inept as you think the Green Bay Packers were offensively and defensively yesterday at various times during that game, the fact that Rich Bisaccia and his team could identify a flaw in their field goal unit this week, just this week, likely, when they were scouting, maybe two because you had the bye, maybe you started early on scouting the Bears. In the last 2 weeks, they were able to identify a flaw in that field goal unit that they were then able to take advantage of, that he had mentioned to his guys headed into the game that the Bears coaching staff never saw because they never fixed it. Right there is they win the inept off because they didn't know that they had that flaw. Let's take a listen to that situation.
I just saw the ball go up, obviously fluttering out of there, and I saw all our players surrounding Carl Brooks, so I figured he probably was the one that blocked it. But I will say this, Rich said to our team last night, I will not understand if we come out of this game without a block, whether field goal or PAT. So great job by our special teams coaches.
Carl Brooks has a hand size, guys. I know information you thought you'd get this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy of 9 1/8. If Carl Brooks' hand size is 9, Packers are losing that game, guys, okay? I just want to put this out there, okay? They won by 1/8 of an inch yesterday, Gabe. And for that reason, we are seeing a lot of frustrated, concerned fans this morning on the ESPN Talk and Text line. Is that fair?
Yeah, absolutely it's fair because they were outplayed by the Bears. By the way, how much is Rich Bisaccia, how much is that worth? Like, what portion of his salary? I know Joshy hates Rich Bisaccia, so I'm expecting an apology from him any moment now.
He gets another week.
What?
He sucks.
What?
This is the first time
they won a game because of the special teams.
Yeah, it was a great job. Thank you for doing something.
That you know what though? That's more the ineptitude of the Chicago Bears. And there's a difference between good coaches and bad coaches. A good coach that can spot that, and other ones that. It's just like, and I think I talked about it last week. It's like the Bears are like, let the little stuff go, and the big stuff will take care of themselves. There was a play in the game where the Bears offensive lineman pulled and gave the most feeble effort to block the end, and the end lit the back up.
Yeah.
You know which play I'm talking
about? Yeah, that was the first Bretton Cox play.
You pull that offensive lineman and his keisters flapping in the wind. That's how bad you would tear that guy. But that's just the Bears. It's just like – I mean, you got to give Bisaccia credit, though, for seeing that, but it's field goal. Are you kidding me? You do this over. There should be no flaws if you're a good special teams coach. It's just, it's pathetic. And the thing about this, hopefully the thing about this, is in 6 weeks, this is just a memory. Oh, yeah, we beat them. Yeah, we beat them twice.
Yeah, hopefully. You know? But Jen, you said something earlier about, I understand playing down to your competition. At what point is this just who you are? Because, I mean, we haven't seen the Packers play up to their competition, right? Playing down to your competition means you are far superior team than these teams that you're playing. And I know that's how we feel as fans, but they haven't proven to us that they're far superior.
I would think the response to that, Gabe, is how they played in the second half of last season. Because, as I said, it is virtually the same offense, right? Like, who's the guy who, Brain, today, could you just work? Who is the rookie offensive lineman who this week we got noticed he's going
Jordan
on?
Jordan Morgan.
So, like, if Jordan Morgan were in there, I might be able to say, well, he got a rookie in there on the offensive line. But, like, for the most part, this is the same unit we saw last year. That, I think, is what is fueling people saying who you've seen them be is not who they are.
Yeah. But, I mean, but that last year, I mean, that, Chewy, you know this.
Saying
like,
we use.
You're only as good as
your last game.
Yes.
That's what we would say. You're only as good as your last game. So if they're resting on their laurels based upon last year, they're smoking crack with their grandmother, as Homer would say. They're crazy. That's not how the league works, okay? And the problem with this is, and we talked about the Seinfeld scale, right? I am between yada, yada, yada and the next one. I'm not in a big panic. But you know when you have to turn it on and when you got to go?
Now?
Is when you got to play the Lions in 2 weeks. And if they get boat raced, I'll be willing to say it's done. They're a one and done, or they're a one win playoff team. Because you can't, there isn't a switch. There's no switch. If you look at teams that win Super Bowls, they do it because they get hot and they go on a roll. Not, oh, lose a game, win a game, lose a game, lose a game, win a game, win it. It's not how it works.
But also, you know, they dominate, don't they, Chew? I mean, we're watching. I think part of the narrative for the Packers has to be what the Detroit Lions are doing. Right? Maybe we're much more conscious of it because they're in the division, because we play them twice, and we're a little bit worried about how that second game is going to go after the way that the first one went.
Yeah.
And the way that they just seem to be absolutely curb stomping their opponents week in and week out.
Well, I'm waiting for that news to break at any moment.
Like, where was the Bears offense?
Chewy's boy's like, Doug is getting fired today. He's getting canned.
Who's that?
Oh, your boy Doug is going to get fired today. I mean, NFL Network basically had a report saying if Jacksonville loses this game, Doug's getting fired. Yesterday.
So I guess what I'm wondering, guys, is they're a 7-3 team and they haven't played their best game yet. Is that enough to give you confidence for the last seven games of the season in that it's there? They haven't uncorked it yet, but it is there. The potential to play at the level they played at the end of last season is there. They just haven't sparked it. They haven't flashed it yet. Or they're a 7-3 team. It's mostly smoke and mirrors and they are not going to make a deep run.
How confident, to me, it comes down to how confident are you that they're going to be able to clean up mistakes? How confident are we that they're going to be able to clean up and be a better team in the red zone, a better team on third down, that the penalties, especially at inopportune times, are going to disappear? Because they had another one yesterday, 2nd and 1. Five, you know, somebody wanders downfield, Elton Jenkins wanders downfield, and it's a 5-yard penalty, now it's 2nd and 6.
Yeah.
Right? It just, all the penalties seem to come at an inopportune time. And those are the things, because you saw, I mean, the Christian Watson play, not the first one, but the second one, the 60-yarder, that you see that. Like, that's awesome. The opening drive, it's bam, bam, bam. You see the potential, but when you constantly have to overcome your own mistakes, that maybe that's just a mistake-prone team. It's the youngest team in the league still. They're still growing. They're still learning. And maybe that's just a part of who they are. At some point, they have to grow and not be the youngest team in the league.
All right. Gotcha.
Yeah, I'm kind of at like, all right, I kind of know what the defense is, right? I know what the defense is.
They're average?
And the defense is this. If they go to Detroit in the playoffs or they go to Philadelphia in the playoffs, you're going to have to score 34 points. Sorry, that's just the way it is. You're going to have – can this offense score 34 points right now? No. No, it can't.
Let me get to a lot of this reaction, guys, before we go to break here, okay? Lots of stuff is popping in. I want to get to some of our regulars and loyal listeners first. Chef Ed says this is not a Super Bowl contending team. Yes, they're 7-3, but 3 wins on the last play of the game. The defense has more holes than Swiss cheese. Clark, Gary, Van Ness, Jair could all star in The Invisible Man. Love has regressed into a turnover machine, and LaFleur's decision-making was horrendous. Let's go to Cody, who says there's a pattern here. Their average GM put together an average roster, and as a result, this is an average team. They are what they are. The second half of last season was more of an anomaly than the mean. Ron in the Key says they couldn't stop them because Green Bay is simply not a good team. They have a bad defense. So it seems like people are resigned, at least the sampling of texts that we have read thus far, to them just being meh. Not that they're not... They're probably in the middle, right? There's like elite teams, and we are seeing teams. And look, you saw a bunch of teams in the AFC yesterday playing really, really well. That Bills-Chiefs game was one for the ages yet again. Bills come out on top. There is an elite tier right now in the NFL.
Yes.
The Detroit Lions are obviously in it. And I would say, Chew, that the Packers are not.
They're a good team. They're a good team. They are a good team. They're not a great team. They're not.
Do you have
team.
To be
agree,
a great
I agree
team
with everything
to win the
said.
Super Bowl, Chew?
Yes.
At the time, yes. At the time, yes. I mean, there's still time. There's still time. It's just like, you got to get on a run. They still only have one signature win. I'm sorry. One signature win against Houston. If you look at everyone, like, what are you saying about Seattle? You know, Seattle's not very good because now San Francisco sucks. It's not.
I mean, both those teams are 5-5. They're both meh. Yeah.
Gabe, do you feel real confident about going to Seattle and winning there?
Not super confident, no. I mean, I think that those teams are probably on
That's
the same tier.
That's a good
tier.
Team,
I mean,
then,
we'll find
right,
out.
Gabe?
They're not going to be a play. One of those two teams is not going to be a playoff team. Both might not be playoff teams.
Yeah.
Both of them are sitting there at 5-5. And again, we'll find out more about San Francisco coming up this week because they're coming to Lambeau Field. But I mean, right now, the Packers, I think, are just a half click above both those teams. And they're a full click behind the elite teams.
I agree.
Steve weighing in saying, I'm not freaking out because they're just not that good of a team. Another game that looked the same. No run D, repetitive, weird interception. If I'm being honest, our best games have been with Malik at the helm. That from Steve. Brandon weighing in saying, I am worried that Jordan isn't nearly as good as that 8-game stretch from last year and that he is just an average quarterback. Meanwhile, Jay seems to agree. I am starting to think Love's good play last year was just a fluke. 800-990-3776. Go ahead and weigh in on your thoughts on yesterday's win, 2019, over the Bears. Packers are 7-3, but man, are there some issues that they need to get cleaned up, and we're worried that those things may continue to rear their ugly head during the final 7 games of the season. Hey guys, it is the season for celebrating at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. You can join them this holiday season for special events that will get you in the festive mood. From a spectacular brunch with Santa to the holiday marketplace and one-of-a-kind dinner and a show experiences, St. Kate has a celebration happening nearly every week through the holiday season. You can also make a night of it and extend your experience by booking an overnight stay at St. Kate. Celebrate the holidays with St. Kate. Learn more by visiting their website, stkatearts.com/holidays.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
But remember he said his birthday?
Yeah.
Maybe we get a little freaky.
Yeah. Like everyone's like, oh, look at our horny little boy. We're so excited. Good for him. Like, everybody's so supportive of Giannis, they just kind of look past it.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Play pass. Love rolling, looking for Watson. Double coverage down there. Christian Watson came down with it. Oh, double coverage. Didn't matter.
It is a Victory Monday, and it's brought to you by Palermo's Pizza, Wisconsin's hometown pizza. With delicious brands like Palermo's, Connie's, Urban Pie, and Screamin' Sicilian, Palermo's has your game day covered. Find Palermo's in your local grocer's freezer.
Back here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Let's go out to the phone lines. Ryan Racine is on, waiting patiently to talk about the Green Bay Packers' win yesterday over the Chicago Bears 20-19. Good morning, Ryan.
Hey guys, how you doing? One quick thought I had is about our running game. I feel like, especially in bigger, closer games, we'll have a 2nd and 10, and we'll try to run the ball, and we don't go anywhere, and then we got a 3rd and 10. And I feel like you guys were talking about, has Love regressed? Has he gotten any better? Is he the quarterback we thought he was? Do you think that maybe if maybe we got 4 or 5 yards on 2nd down from a run rather than getting stopped, and we could have an easy 3rd and 5 that he'd be able to convert on.
Yeah, I mean, that's their philosophy. They want to get it to, because there's a different set of plays from 3 to 6 than there are, say, 6 to 10. It's just, and then that's what they try to get to. And it really hasn't been working. It's just, I don't know, the flowy doesn't. It's just things just seem too difficult, And LaFleur, let me tell you, LaFleur at the beginning of the game, the way he game plans is very good. His first 15, I mean, it does a nice job, but then it just kind of stops, right?
At least it did yesterday.
It's just that's the way it feels. It's like, okay, I can't fool you anymore. Now I just got to call my plays, and he's not doing a good job of flow. That's what it feels like to me. I don't know if that's game time adjustment, feeling one another out, but it certainly offensively isn't flowing. It's almost like they're not doing, like, all right, if we're going to ride Josh Jacobs, ride Josh Jacobs. Give him 150 yards. It's like he gets to 80 yards, and then they just stop.
At the same time, Chu? Like yesterday, this may just be a red zone problem, because yesterday they only punted once. I mean, they had an end of the half where they took a kneel down, but they only punted once. Their other drives were touchdown, 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 and then turnover on downs inside the 10 and an interception in the red zone. Like they moved the ball yesterday in the possessions they had. They were able to move the football. They just couldn't cap it off with what they did in the red zone.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I was talking to my son about it.
Coach,
because they run the stupid air raid offense, which is dumb, and we saw how dumb it was, even though it was a good game against the Badgers. They've abandoned that. Every play.
Can't help himself.
Every play, right? Most plays should have four plays off of it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If you're running jet sweep, there should be a boot off of it. There should be a throw off of it. There should be a run off of it. You know? Every play, I just don't feel that anymore. Do you?
Not necessarily, I guess. I would agree with that, that you don't feel that connectivity within plays.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. It just, you know, I've said it a million times, it doesn't feel flowy. And it doesn't mean they can't get there.
Well, that's just what I was going to say, Chu. Do you remember feeling this way last year? So I went back through Matt LaFleur's record through 10 games each season. 2019, the team was 8-2. 2020, they were 8-2. 2021, 9-1. 2022 was the down year. They were 4-6. And 2023, they were 7-3. Now, again, they started slow, but were able to gain and click off wins in the second half of the season. This doesn't feel to me like that 2022 season when we were like questioning Aaron Rodgers and we were wondering, you know, can he still play? And obviously the Packers willing to move on from him. But it also doesn't feel like last season. I know every season is its own thing, but at 7-3, it feels like there should be more optimism about what this team can do in the second half of the season. Again, I will admittedly say most of that is based on what they were able to do last season down the stretch. But Jordan Love now threw another interception. That's 11 on the year. I believe that matches last year's total. So I can't get a feel for this team. And I think that's probably what is contributing to the frustration. I think that's what's contributing to the conversation. Because there's a lot of people out here, Gabe, and I'm reading through the talk and text line, and I love that people are very, very passionate about this. But we certainly have people who are saying, geez, you'd think they lost the game the way these conversations are going, the way these comments are going. We won the game, don't apologize for losses, and yet I can't wrap my brain around that, the way that they won that game.
No, you don't apologize. Because, I mean, losing this game puts you in a pretty tough spot. Because, I mean, if that field goal goes through, if Carl Brooks' hand, as Jen said, is at 9-1/8, and that field goal from Cairo Santos ends up splitting the uprights, now you're sitting there at 6-4. And the Niners are coming to town, and that game becomes huge because they're 5-5 and you're 6-4. This is still a big game against San Francisco coming up. But, I mean, when the aspirations are to improve upon what you did last year, and I look around the NFC, at best, you could probably have them as the fourth best team in the NFC right now, at best.
Yeah, but they deserve to be bashed. They should have lost.
They were outplayed.
What is the percentage of field goals made from 46 yards? 75?
It's probably right around there, probably.
75% chance they were going to lose that game. They deserve to be ripped today. Because if they lost, how much worse would it be on this show today?
Well, to provide context.
We'd be destroying them.
To provide context to that, Chu, I saw a longtime listener of Homer's show, Sean, tweeted him last year. Over 1,900 field goal attempts, or over 1,700 field goal attempts, only 19 were blocked. So only 1.1% of field goals are blocked in the NFL.
And to your point, Chu, yesterday in the game when it was 19-14, 3rd-and-2 at the Chicago 38 with 6:35 remaining in the fourth quarter, ESPN Analytics had Chicago with an 84% chance to win that game. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean... snatched victory from the jaws of defeat, essentially, if you want to put it that way.
I mean, I look at it the other way for the Bears. They snatched defeat in the jaws of victory.
I mean, if they lost, would we be seriously considering they might not win a division game?
Chewy, if they lost, we might have had to start the show at 6 o'clock this morning.
I know.
it would. So Homer might still be sitting here from Green Bay game night last night.
So here's the other thing I'm seeing, Chu, and I want your reaction to this. We got to get to break shortly, but a lot of people are saying, and I'll read Ryan from Iguanago's tweet to set this up, text to set this up. If it is Super Bowl or bust, yes, it is a win, but they are not a Super Bowl team. If they didn't play good, a road win is good though for how they played. So there is context there. But I think what I'm seeing a lot of people say is we are resigned to the fact that this is not a Super Bowl team, that they cannot beat the Detroit Lions for NFC supremacy, and therefore, let's just collect as many wins as possible and enjoy the ride.
Yeah, I'm not going there. I'm not saying this team is not a Super Bowl team. They're not playing like a Super Bowl team, But we know it's in there. Whether they get it out, I don't know.
Do we know it's in there?
Well, based upon last year, it's the same roster.
But they weren't a Super Bowl team last year. They weren't even an NFC Championship team last year.
I'm just saying with the ping pong balls, there are a couple in the big plastic bin. There's not a lot. But like I said earlier in the show, I'm resigned to this is all offense, right? This is all offense. The offense is the one that's got to get it going because they're the ones that are going to have to score 35 points a game to beat Philly, to beat Detroit, and to beat Buffalo or Kansas City. If they don't get to that, they ain't playing Detroit in Detroit, and it's not going to be a 16-13 game. Am I right?
In order to beat Detroit in Detroit, we're talking
63. Low? 63 points. Low? You got to put 63 up on them.
Yeah. You don't put up 63. You're probably losing that game.
What do you think that line is? If they played them this week, the line would be what? 7?
Yeah, 6.5, 7, something like that.
Yeah.
Let me get to some of this reaction before we take another quick break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Typical Packers fans. Man, there's nothing harder than when this thing
jumps. Oh, when it gets moved, yeah.
When you're reading. Typical Packers fans, their team wins a grinded-out road game, and they act like it's the end of the world because it wasn't perfect. That from Dumpy in West Bend. Rex in the 262 says, it pains me to say this, but the Packers are pretenders, not contenders this season. Ben saying, I don't think this team makes the playoffs. The Lions and the Vikings are going to get the spots. It's too late to improve, but I hope I am wrong. So again, we are seeing, even after a win, because of the way that they won, because of the issues that continue to rear their ugly head, people are not optimistic about this Packers team. And that's totally fine. Like, we're not forcing people to be optimistic about a team that has shown warts.
Missing the playoffs, though. Whew.
Yeah, I mean, the South and the West are a train wreck.
If the Packers go 3-4 over the next 7, they're probably still making the playoffs.
Okay, so let me just read this from Phil in the 630. The disappointment in this win, God bless America, jumped again, is the realization that they are not good enough to win it all.
Yeah, 100%. Because right they yes. just don't, they haven't shown it. Yes, they showed it last year, but at this point, if they are basically the same team they were a year ago, that's the outlier. Versus the first half of last year, the second half of last year, and the first half of this year. Playing as well as they did for the final 8 games is the outlier right now.
So is it just Love?
It's not just Love.
We didn't think the defense was worth its salt last year. We're kind of in the same spot this year. Is it just Love?
If Love
all of a sudden starts playing out of his mind, then is it like, all right, here we go?
He needs to play out of his mind in order for them to be a Super Bowl team because there are so many other warts, I think, Chewy, on that defense. Like you said, if you want to beat the best teams in the NFC and you're going to have to probably do it on the road in the postseason, yeah, he's going to have to play out of his mind. No turnovers, 35-plus points. It's going to have to be all on him and the offense. And they're going to have to avoid mistakes, which they just haven't been able to do.
We're
going to
take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We got callers waiting on the line to chat with us. If you're on the line, stay on the line. We will get to you as soon as this break ends, right after this.
Ewald Automotive Group's Black Friday sales event is back, and it's going on now through November 30th, which means you can get up to $10,000 in rebates or up to 10% off or 0% financing with Ewald's exclusive 20-year, 200,000-mile warranty. It's their biggest savings, lowest rates, and maximum trade-in values. Now through month end, at every Ewald location, expires at the month's end. Ewald makes it easy. Just have to start at ewaldauto.com.
A standout performance.
Love to the end zone. Watson spins his way for the touchdown.
A player who energized the team.
He goes to the air. It's intercepted. Jair Alexander high stepping for 6.
It's time for the current electric superhero MVP of the game on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He's put it in the air this time. It is
whether it's as small as a switch repair or as big as a whole home rewiring or even a generator to keep your lights on, call the superheroes from Current Electric. Go to callcurrent.com.
Can't take anything for granted.
Here we go. 46 yards for the win.
We'll be right back.
knocking that field goal out of the air, our current electric superhero MVP of the game. Again, only 1.1% of kicks in the NFL blocked a season ago, and the Packers needed it so they could escape Chicago with a 20-19 victory.
Let's go out to the phone lines. We have people waiting patiently on the line to get in with us this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Let's go out to Jim in Sheboygan. Good morning, Jim. You're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy on a Victory Monday.
What's wrong with the Packers? The defense is, first of all, they've never drafted a pass rusher in the last 5 or 6 years. They have nobody who can purely rush the passer, like bend the edge and get around and get a sack. They need cornerbacks. The cornerback we have that's worth anything is Alexander, and he plays 50% of the time. The other thing, I got a bone to pick with Chewy a little bit.
Ooh.
He wants to score 35 points a game. How many times have they punt yesterday? Once. They don't get 5 possessions a game because the defense gives up 6, 7, 8 minute drives a game, and the Packers only get the ball 4 or 5 times a game at the most. That means they got to score a touchdown every time. That's a little unrealistic.
Not for Detroit.
Well, they also have a good defense, though.
Detroit does it.
Yeah, with a good defense.
Yeah. I think, and we talked about it before the season started, that was it Joe Barry or was it the defensive players? To me, it's now kind of a push.
The Detroit Lions are averaging 34 points per game this season. I'm just going to put that out there. Also, Lucas Van Ness is someone that they drafted to be a pass rusher. Just because he hasn't done it yet doesn't mean they haven't drafted one. They have. He said in the last 5 years.
Okay.
But Josh made a great point, which was... If he's so forgettable,
it's forgettable play. So.
Yeah, I mean, if he doesn't, I mean, sure, they drafted a guy who should be able to. Mm-hmm. He just can't.
That's his job.
Yeah.
Let's go out to Andy in Grafton. Andy, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning. Your reaction to the Packers' 2019 victory over the Bears?
I mean, if we're going to continue to use the word if, like these scenarios don't exist in real life, this version of Jordan Love doesn't win those games or wins those games that we lost last year. How many games did we lose last year with Jordan Love had the ball at the end and he didn't come through with the win? So you can talk about reckless play, but when the game is on the line, Jordan Love this year has delivered almost every single time. So like this idea that if the Packers go into the playoffs can't win a game, this version of Jordan Love, the way that is played out this season, he completes that drive against the 49ers, and you play the Detroit Lions in the NFC Championship, Gabe. So, like, if you guys are going to continue to use these imaginary scenarios, like if the guy made the field goal yesterday, well, he didn't. So let's just talk about the fact of the matter is Jordan Love put this team in position to win the game, something that he was unable to do to start the season last year. So you don't need him to play great. You need him when the game is on the line. You need him to do what he's done now consistently this season, and that's take the lead, and the defense doesn't give the lead back up.
Well,
that's reality. That's not if.
The reality of the situation is he has 11 interceptions, and the reality of the situation is when you've played playoff teams this year, it's not gone your way. You haven't been in position for Jordan Love to have the ball at the end and have the game matter. I mean, it did against Philadelphia. Didn't come through. You got the score for Minnesota, 31-29. That's closer than the game actually was. And you lost by 10 to Detroit, 24-14. I mean, those are the three teams you're going to have to compete with in the NFC playoffs. And because of Jordan Love's play and interceptions in those games, you weren't in a position at the end. You weren't in a position to potentially do what he did yesterday or against Houston. Right? You're not in that position.
No, I don't think you're playing the Bears in the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, great point.
You know what would be sick, though? They played the Bears in the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, what if?
Hey, no ifs. No ifs on this show. The Packers, to just symmetry here, are averaging 25 points per game this season. Last time I checked, somebody do the math for me. What is that? Carry the one. Yeah, the Detroit Lions right now have a much more explosive offense than the Green Bay Packers have. And I think what everybody on this show is saying is that You thought the defense might be able to close the gap between the Packers' offense, even if it were performing at this level, and the ones that are performing at a higher level. But so far, this defense hasn't been able to do that. And look, maybe they will, right? If Halfley can get some of his guys in there, if they draft more pass rushers, again, Lucas Van Ness does exist, right? So you have to say that they have drafted a pass rusher.
He hypothetically exists. And
what if he didn't?
He hypothetically exists.
Gosh, he's just poking the bear now. Sorry, Andy. So I think that's what you're saying. You're looking at that going, look, even if they make the playoffs, even if they win some games in the playoffs, guys, barring a very, very fluky thing happening in a Detroit game, they're going to have to face the Lions at some point, right?
The Lions or the Eagles, probably. The Vikings.
Yeah, if they make it that far, yeah.
If. Chew.
Why, we're not allowed to say if?
Apparently not.
I think toads have really bad eyesight. That's what I've come up with. I think they have a very bad eyesight.
I like that.
Dumpy in West Bend says, that last caller was definitely Jordan Love's agent.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Lots of stuff to still get to in the second half of the show. We haven't even talked about the Badgers firing their offensive coordinator after narrowly losing to Oregon this weekend. I wonder if that'll even get in. Next.